Welcome to the Sleon Podcast, and today we have a special guest, Aaron Trank. I met Aaron Trank a couple years ago, and he was answering a question about Judaism and Christianity, I think through a YouTuber named James Kotecki a couple years ago, when YouTube was on the rise, and people were making money, and now everyone can make money, and now it's, back then it was like, you know, select users. And Aaron, I really was a huge fan of Aaron because we had a lot in common, Christianity, Judaism, and technology. And I really am happy for him to be on the podcast. I always wanted to interview him because you've been very interesting. And Aaron, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to be here.
So Aaron, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I live in San Francisco. I'm married, been married for 12 years at the time of this recording. I've got three kids. I'm a California boy. I grew up born and raised in Sacramento, and ended up in San Francisco after, while I was working with Jews for Jesus, I got sent to San Francisco as a missionary. And we really loved it, and so we ended up staying in San Francisco even after leaving missionary service with Jews for Jesus. It's a great city. I come from a Jewish background. Actually, I'm a product of a mixed marriage. So my dad is Jewish. My mom is a lot of different things, So I kind of grew up with my feet in both worlds, if you will. Like, I went to the Jewish school in Sacramento, and we were part of a synagogue as I was preparing for bar mitzvah, and we also were part of a church. And that's my background. I'm a software engineer. I studied computer science. I ended up taking a 9-year break from that to do ministry, and had a great time doing it. But then once my third was born, and traveling for ministry was getting harder and harder, it just felt like at this stage in life, I needed to have something a little bit more stable. So I made a little transition, now I work at Amazon as a software engineer, and but still an avid Jew for Jesus.
I'm glad.
So, yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. When did you convert to Christianity? Was it something that, you know, you were very young, and was it like your dad also a Christian? How did all that happen?
Yeah, so it was interesting because, so my dad, both my parents were believers. They came to faith before I was born. I was raised kind of in both worlds. And the interesting thing, you know, when you're a kid and you're going to Sunday school and you're going to the synagogue, you know, you're learning a lot of the same stories. Like there's just a tremendous amount of overlap. You know, the kind of ethics are very similar, are the same really. And so you're learning, you know, about right and wrong. You're learning about sin. You're learning about the stories from the Bible. And obviously, the one really big difference is Jesus. You know, and at church we were learning about. I was learning about Jesus and learning from the New Testament. And in the Jewish school, I was learning exclusively stories from, you know, from the Hebrew Bible, from the Old Testament. And now, I wasn't a particularly good kid. You know, I had a really hard time being good. And so that was one of the things that was like really drew me to Jesus was, you know, this idea that our righteousness doesn't, you know, in Christianity, that our righteousness is not something that we earn on our own. It's not something that we can ever really even live up to on our own strength. It's something that we have to trust God for what He has done and accept what He's done on our behalf. And as a troublemaker kind of kid who wanted to do right but always had a hard time, I never able I never was able to just be a good kid on my own. And at some point, it just hit me that what God was offering me through Jesus was an opportunity to, I don't know, not just have a relationship with Him, but to be have a righteousness that didn't have to do with my own ability to be a good kid. And that was the thing that really compelled me, and where I just realized that I needed to submit my life to God, and that I needed Jesus in my life more than just accepting that what the Bible said was true, or accepting that these stories were real, and that God was there. Just accepting that I couldn't be righteous on my own, that God had to do that on my behalf. That was how I came to faith. I came to faith as a child. It really, you know, I still was at the Jewish school. I still prepared for bar mitzvah and ended up going through bar mitzvah. Really, there weren't a lot of places where there was a conflict between my Jewishness and my faith in Jesus, practically, at least for me as a kid. It also wasn't something, you know, as a kid that I was like wearing on my sleeve that I believed in Jesus, because obviously that's kind of a faux pas within a Jewish community. And when people found out about it, I had friends that I haven't spoken to since third grade, because they found out, their families found out that we were believers in Jesus, and that I was a believer in Jesus, and they just didn't want to have anything to do with me anymore.
And like with Jews, and you know, and you being a Christian, what type of misconceptions you hear from Jews a lot, like very common ones?
I think for any kind of religious community, there's always going to be misconceptions. Like there's only things like you believe about someone else that may or may not be true. You just don't know because they're other than you. And so I think for Jewish people, there's a lot of fear. There's an idea, less so, I think, with our generation than with previous generations. But I think in previous generations, there's just definitely a fear of anti-Semitism, a fear of Christianity in particular, just a belief that that anti-Semitism was something that was done in the name of Christ, and that if you were to believe in Jesus, that you had to give up your Jewishness, because that's the option that a lot of Jewish people have. So I'm raising my children to my wife is also Jewish. My kids were raising them as Jewish believers in Jesus with a strong Jewish identity, but also like very involved in there's not a Messianic congregation in San Francisco, so we go to a local church here, and that those relationships are really important to us, and it's important to me that, like, obviously that our kids grow up believing in Jesus, but also that they grow up knowing who they are, like ethnically, and who they are and their history and what our family has been through.
You know, it's interesting because like here in my community in South Florida, there's a huge Jewish community. And like a lot of them know a lot about Jesus. They know he's the most famous Jew of all. And like they're kind of like, they know the truth. They know, like, they see the evidence, but they're kind of scared to hop over. You know?
Yeah.
The fear maybe of like their family or even like their own synagogue kind of might have, maybe he shunned them. You know? Have you ever seen that? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Quite a bit. I mean, I think for those who are religious, and participating like in they're members in a synagogue or they're part of their Jewish religious community. There's a few things about what Jesus said that run completely contrary to the modern Jewish thinking about, this idea of even where righteousness comes from. In Judaism, it's all about the law and the keeping of the law, and that's where your righteousness comes from, is by keeping the law. And I think anybody honestly could just say, like, none of us are able to keep the law. In the New Testament, it talks about, like, the law was given as like a school teacher to show us our inability to keep it and our need for righteousness that comes from a different source, and from God himself even. And for people that are Jewish, that are like practicing Judaism, like, yeah, believing in Jesus completely goes against what their ideas are. A lot of Jewish people who are secular have a lot of just really deep-seated fear of rejection from their family or rejection from the community, about even considering who Jesus was and his claims, because obviously Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. That's another big misconception, something that a lot of Jewish people don't understand,
yeah,
is that Jesus came to, and live claiming to be the Messiah. And he made that claim, like, very clear, right before he was crucified. And so I think a lot of people just, they think of him as, like, someone who started Christianity, and they don't realize that he came in fulfillment of all this prophecy and fulfillment of, like, the culmination even of what the Hebrew scriptures were pointing to.
Yeah. No, and it's interesting because Christianity was founded by Jews.
Yeah.
12 disciples. And I keep telling them, it's like, why would those 12 disciples go across the world to risk their lives? All of them stay quiet.
Yeah.
There's a reason behind it, And why is there, like, whole date BC before Christ? There's something special about this person.
yeah, for sure.
How would you talk to a Jew about Jesus? I remember one time you told me to read a certain, like, book or chapter. How would you approach that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, I just moved from being a full-time ministry, vocational ministry with Jews for Jesus, back into the working world. Like, I'm at Amazon. First of all, I would say, like, I think fundamentally, like, a lot of Christians have a hard time sharing their faith at all, let alone with a Jewish person. And I'd say, like, honestly, step one is just be open and honest about who you are and what you believe. That could even be just, in your life, like, if you're working, just being honest, like, when that conversation comes up on Monday, like, hey, what did you do this weekend? Just be honest. Be like, hey, I went to church and I had a great time. Like, this is my community, and, or, like, I went to church and my pastor talked about, gave a message based on these ideas, and it really was impactful to me. I mean, I think a lot of times Christians are afraid to be just open and transparent about the fact that they are Christians and what they believe, and or not even just what they believe, but, like, just what that entails in their lives. Those weekly patterns of, like, yeah, I went to church. I think that's the first place to start. And I think if you have a Jewish person that you're friends with, and they're interested in knowing a little bit more, like I said, like, I think, the first place to start is to be just open and honest about who you are and what you believe, and then to be ready to explain, like, theologically, like, how does that work out? I mean, you don't have to be a theologian. You can just explain, like, hey, I believe in Jesus, meaning, like, I literally believe that he lived, that he died, and that God raised him from the dead. And I believe that that Jesus is the way through which all of us can have a relationship with God, whether, no matter what kind of ethnic background or religious background you come from, like, Jesus, I believe, is the way. And I think learning to be, like, really honest and open and transparent about your beliefs is like a great first step for anybody, like regardless if you're talking to a Jewish person or not. I think for Jewish people in particular, especially if they're from a religious background, I probably was pointing you when we talked before to Isaiah 53.
Yeah.
And that's again the place I would turn to. Is, you know, Isaiah 53 is in some ways like this sort of capstone prophecy about what the Messiah would do. And the Jewish community like interprets that passage to be not about the Messiah, but to be about Israel, the nation. And there's certain ways in which you could see that, and it might fit if you were just to like kind of take a single verse or a single couple of these verses out and pull them out of their context. But I always just recommend like just read the passage with the person as a whole. You can even say like, you know, if you are talking to a Jewish person and they're saying, well, you know, why? So you're a Christian? Is that because your parents are Christian or why have you accepted this for your own religion? You could even just say at that point, well, I read this passage and this passage was really compelling to me. And like, it's not just that I was born a Christian. It's that I really believe this to be true. So, I mean, I guess to kind of wrap it up, to be honest, to be open, to be transparent about who you are and what you believe, not to be ashamed of the fact that you are a Christian, that you go to church, that you believe in something that sounds totally crazy if based on science and logic, that this person who lived 2,000 years ago is like the personification of the God of the universe who came down to earth and was crucified, lived a perfect life, was crucified, and then was raised from the dead. Spontaneous resurrection. It's a crazy concept. But I think being honest about those things and then being able to, with a Jewish person in particular, point to like the Hebrew scriptures or the Old Testament and say like, this is why I believe that Jesus is the fulfillment of these prophecies, because here are the prophecies.
I agree very much.
And Isaiah 53 is a great place.
Yeah, that's a great place. Which I agree. I mean, you got to be honest. And I think that Paul, you know, once said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And he said that for a reason. I think a lot of Christians feel a little bit of a shame of being a Christian or believing in Jesus. You shouldn't be, you know. Just say, hey, I went to church yesterday. And which that could cause a good conversation. A person who has a need, you know. Hey, I mean, I heard you that you go to church. Maybe you know, you can pray for me, or I could possibly join you because everyone needs has a need, and it's a good proper thing to do. And I think just be honest and just never be ashamed. And trust me, absolutely. I mean, a lot of people know. A lot of people say, "Wow," because you know, people have that innate, you know, feeling inside that they need someone like a higher being, you know, everyone like was created to believe in something, you know, and I believe it's like, you know, what you were saying, this is beautiful. But, so tell us, you're now with Amazon, we're switching to tech now. And obviously Amazon is in the news in the past couple of months. You guys had just had Prime Day. Can you tell us your involvement with Amazon?
Yeah. So I'm a software engineer. I work on the Echo Look team. Echo Look is a fashion device for sort of digitally cataloging your wardrobe and giving outfit recommendations. So I moved from ministry into fashion.
Amazing.
but I've had a great time. My team has a feature in the Amazon shopping app, like the iOS and Android app that is written in React Native, which is what I've kind of specialized in recently, at least. That's what I've been working on. I'm on the Echo Look team. And Amazon's a great place to work. It's an amazing company.
Can you tell us any secrets that's going to happen in the future, in your future future projects or developments that could happen with the Echo and everything?
I could say that it's going to keep getting smarter. And you know, one of the things I really love about Amazon is that they're really a mission driven kind of company, and they have really great core values, and including like just being you know, obviously I'm speaking for myself and in my experience here, but obviously. But they're very customer centric, and so they're always like everything comes back to like how can we do the right thing for the customer, and I really love that. Like one of my big fears going from ministry back into just the secular working world was this possibility that I was going to, you know, fall in with a company that in the end was like not making ethical business decisions or was asking things that were of me as a developer that conflicted with my own, conscience. And I've never had that at all at Amazon. I think the company is fantastic. We've grown and grown and grown, and no end in sight, but, it's a great company.
Yeah, I mean,
great place to work.
And it's funny because me and my friend Greg talk about, like, I could pretty much order anything on Amazon. Like, I pretty much order one thing a month on Amazon. And like he was telling me, how many stores, you know, sell back scratchers? I mean, yeah. you got to go to Amazon and find those type of stuff, you know? You find almost anything. He bought, like, some old AM FM radio on Amazon and everything else. And, question in San Francisco, do you guys have the little Amazon stores where you just walk in and not go to a cashier, just walk out?
No, I think they're only in Seattle right now. Okay. We don't have one in San Francisco.
There's one in New York, I've heard. I think there's one there.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's funny cause you know, Amazon just started like as a bookstore, but yes, they dominate e-commerce, but they're also involved with technology. Like the whole thing with the Echo and everything. And like, you know, they're very driven. Prime is amazing. NFL will be on Prime this fall. So, and what'd you think about the whole purchase with Whole Foods?
I don't know. I didn't know about it until I read it online, and not like on the, the Amazon internal website. I just read it off a regular news source. I would love for the prices at Whole Foods to come down.
It should. I think it will.
So, but yeah.
Wow, that's awesome, man.
I just felt like really blessed, to be honest. Like blessed to be able to be part of this thing at this time in history, because a lot's going on.
Yeah. No, it's funny. Yeah, because I see when I go to the Drudge Report, there's always an Amazon story. Somewhere, and it's gonna be exciting things. I'm really looking forward to it. The Apple HomePod, which you don't have to comment on, we'll see how that goes. It's gonna be an interesting market.
Yeah,
once they come in.
Yeah, I haven't looked. You know, to be honest, I'm not really that much of a early adopter with devices, and so I came in here specifically because I had some React Native experience and then needed somebody to come in and help build out their team. But in terms of the devices, it's been like a total learning curve for me.
For my developer audience, which is a small part of the audience, a lot of them ask me, do you prefer native or do you prefer like React, JS and all that? Like, what's your preference?
I think there's a different purpose for each, but, one of the really great things, like the most compelling thing about React Native, it's not it's not completely stable yet. You know, it's still, you know, I think it's at like 0.47. So we haven't even hit like version one yet. But one of the compelling things is that with certain tools like CodePush, you can deliver your app to the App Store once, which means you know going through the Apple and the Google approval process to get through and get into the App Store, and then you can push new JavaScript bundles which contain your business logic, After that's in there without having to go through a redeployment, unless you're adding like a bunch of new features. So that's not entirely true, but because of that, so if you have like bug fixes you need to push, you can do that in real time rather than having to wait for a new deployment, rather than having to wait for it to be able to send an update to Apple for them to approve and then hoping that your customers or your users will all update their app, because obviously sometimes they don't update the app. So that's one of the compelling things to me about it. And then the benefit to me over like running things in like Cordova or in WebViews is that, it's just you have the performance of you have close to the performance of a native application, but then you have the ability to do continuous integration and continuous deployment like you would in WebViews. So it's a great like kind of combination of both worlds.
I agree. I think, when you do things web embedded or React, you're able to update quicker. I mean, we run like about 34 apps in the App Store, and it's like any small update, it takes 1 to 3 days through Apple, and obviously like the update sometimes could need a huge emergency update. So typically, but I haven't dabbled into the React.js thing yet, but we'll see in the future. What is your favorite app on the iPhone so far? I mean, currently that you've been looking at.
Yeah.
You don't have to answer if you don't know.
No, I'm trying to think. I use this to-do list app. Let me see if I can like go out of this without killing it. So I use this to-do list app called Clear.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You're back. I see you.
Which you see me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to jump off to see what the what it was. It's called Clear, and it's just really sleek. The one thing I don't like about it is you have to use the gestures are always like a lot of the gestures are two-handed. So I would prefer now, like as I'm using it more and more, to be able, actually I really like Trello as well. Trello has a good, really good, app.
You guys use it within Amazon or?
No, we don't. I use them for like personal projects. Like Amazon has a lot of their own kind of tools. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I think I prefer the Trello to the internal tools we have to use.
I gotcha. Because Trello came out of this other app. I think it's Basecamp. It came out of and it's free. It was free when I first saw it, but it might have some premium
package. Yeah, I think there is a premium package now, but it is. I think their base one is still free.
Awesome.
It's really useful, but I don't. Not being an early adopter, I'm usually waiting till like somebody tells me about apps that I'm like, oh, I gotta go check that out. I downloaded I have one of those like heart rate monitors that connects through Apple's it's called HealthKit. And then it, for showing like your heart rate and your steps and all that.
Yeah.
And so I've been using one of those from Ticker, I think is the name of it. Mm. I don't know.
And you use an Apple Watch as well?
No.
Mm. Oh, I got you. Cool. What is your favorite book? It could be business, spiritual.
Okay. Well, since you mentioned Tim Ferriss and the I don't know, when we originally connected, was it the 4-hour work week or 4-hour body?
It was the body, but I knew you way before then.
Body.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I guess I've followed Tim Ferriss since he first wrote the 4-hour work week. And so I have, I've purchased like a lot of his, not a lot, I've purchased all of his books whenever they come out. And he just came out with a newer one, Tools of Titans, really like the best of advice of all the people he's had on his podcast. And I've used it as a reference. I think it's a really good sort of reference book. So I'll sit down and read, you know, it's a very thick book. But I'll sit down and read a couple sections, every once in a while, just when I need some inspiration. So I think that's really good. In terms of like a spiritual book, what have I been reading recently? I mean, I think you can't go wrong with anything C.S. Lewis wrote. That's always a place I think that from Mere Christianity to Problem of Pain to some of his other essays. Like, I really like sort of rooting myself in things that he's written, because I think he's just he was a really powerful thinker that I think God used in a really powerful way in a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, like I read his one of his books, it's called Mere Christianity, and it was definitely very, very intellectual, very smart, that I think a lot of people that are not very familiar with the church or doesn't go to church, that's are great reading material just to get curious with Christianity and with Jesus. And but yeah, this is amazing. Thank you for coming on, Aaron, and you've been a huge blessing. And it's funny because when I went back to see your bio, I mean, I didn't realize you worked in Amazon, which is huge. And then plus, I didn't know you were a coder as well.
Yeah.
I guess when you're in San Francisco, right, you kind of like get into coding or something. but really, 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 really gracious that you're here. Any closing words?
Well, Santiago, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. And I don't think so. It's been great. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you, Aaron, for coming on. And God's really blessed you. And we'll see what happens next with the Echo. And really gracious, man. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.